It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, July the 23rd, and we are live in Austin, Texas at the Frost Bank Building. And this evening, Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of the show, is here with us to make the show run. And we have another great program in store. We also have a storm that's been threatening to move in once again during the time of the show. So if we have any interruptions, it's because of the storm. And hang on, and we'll get back with you as soon as possible. In a few minutes, we'll be joined here in the studio by speaker, author, speech coach, workshop leader, and founder of Comer Communications. Jim Comer is here, and he'll be talking about his book, When Roles Reverse, and about his experience caring for his elderly parents and the lessons we can all learn from his experience. And we'll be videotaping that interview for your later viewing pleasure on YouTube. So be sure to catch that later after that's edited. And later on in the program this evening, we have Brazilian musician Paula Maia who will be joining us, and we'll be playing some of her original music. And also during the program, Laura Gelizunis will be reporting in live from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta. And along the way, I will be discussing self-love and saving some energy for yourself and why that's important. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers. And for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD, and part of the time my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this wonderful resource for veterans and for veterans' families, you can check out their website at heroesnightout.org. Want to contact me? Do you have a question or something that you think I should know about? Send me an email to Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com, or contact me through my website, drmarakarpel.com, and again, that's D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com, or call me, 973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Throughout this evening's show, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions, comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address, once again, Dr. Mara at drmaracarpell.com. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. You can hear this evening's program again and read the information from the show, get the links to any websites that my guests talk about on the program by going to my website, drmaracarpell.com, and that's drmaracarpell.com. And the podcast will be posted later tonight along with all of the website links. You can also hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from previous shows, to listen to previous shows, read my blog, watch the videos that we have taped since the beginning of 2016, been live in the studio, find out more about my upcoming books, go to my website, drmaracarpell.com, and follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpell, Your Golden Years. And you can also hear all of the previous programs by going to blog, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Jim Comer right here in the studio to talk about his book, When Roles Reverse. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super Psychologist Dr. Mara Carpell will be back after words from our sponsors. Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240. Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Okay, we're good.
All right, and welcome to Dr. Mara Carpell and Your Golden Years. And live here in the studio with me, I have author, speaker, Jim Comer, who's here to talk about his latest book, When Roles Reverse.
Yes, you got the name right.
That's the first thing.
That is the first thing.
So, Jim, welcome.
Thank you.
Before we go in to talk about this, maybe you can just give a really brief history of who you are or background of who you are.
Well, you know, I'm a speech coach and a speech writer. And when this all started, I was out in L.A. writing speeches for the CEO of a big company. And one morning, 7 a.m., I got a call from my parents' next-door neighbor in Dallas. She told me my father was wandering in the front yard, and she thought he was in a daze, and he thought he was having a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And he was.
And he was.
I mean, he was having one. And within hours, my world changed forever.
Yeah, I bet.
6 hours later, I was on a plane to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, totally unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Because my parents, well, my mother had Alzheimer's already.
Okay.
So she couldn't talk to me.
Right.
And my father wouldn't talk to me. And so I arrived, and I walked into that hospital where the neighbors had gotten him by telling him he was going for Mexican food. That's how they got him to the hospital.
While he was having a stroke.
While he was having a stroke. But he still wanted that Mexican food.
Wow.
I walk in, and everybody's looking at me like, I've got all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, I didn't even have the questions. Because my father would not have a conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
For 5 years, every time I'd go home, since Mother had gotten the early signs of dementia, I'd been trying to get him to talk about her and make plans to move down to Austin where all the relatives were.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'd bring the subject up, he would get up and walk out of the room, literally leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I, being the good Southern boy that I am, let him get by with that. And I now know that I should have gotten up, walked out with him, cornered him, and said, Dad, we are going to talk about this. I need to know what your plans are for the future. I have to be in charge. I'm the only child. I need to know what to do.
So what sort of questions would you have wanted him to answer?
Oh, yes. Well, what I would have wanted to know is, Dad, well, first of all, what do you want? You know, mm-hmm. would you like to, you know, your aunt's, his sister, my aunt's home, was one block from a wonderful independent living. They called
mm-hmm.
it retirement home back there. One block, it would have been perfect. It was their church, Methodist church. I wanted him to go there, but wouldn't even discuss it. I also wanted to know about his finances. I didn't know what he could afford and what he couldn't afford.
So you didn't know even about
nothing.
His finances.
I didn't know about insurance, stocks, finances, none of it. I didn't know what he'd done as far as preparing for, you know, end-of-life decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know those. He wouldn't talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was totally in denial.
Mm-hmm.
He was so, I think he was 86 years old, too. I mean, it was not like he was young. I mean, he should have known, but I also should have taken the lead.
Uh-huh.
So when I got there that week, they let me know that I had to make decisions quick. I had to get him in rehab within 1 week, and the rehab had to be in Austin where the relatives were. I flew down here. I picked a rehab. You know how I chose it? A nurse smiled at me because I needed a smile really bad.
Okay.
And then I get home, and Mother says she's not leaving Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Well, she has to leave Dallas. She can't be alone. My cousins in Georgetown said they would keep her, and I had to get her in the car. And so I came up with this term called therapeutic lying.
Uh-huh.
And the day that they were taking Dad down, I came to my mother 8:30 in the morning. She's reading the paper, and I said, Mom, would you like to go get some ice cream? See, my mother never turns down ice cream.
Okay.
Not even at 8:30 in the morning. She got right up, walked with me, got in the car, and we drove to Austin. I did stop. I got her some ice cream, her a big sundae.
Okay.
And she never complained. I got her to my cousin, and I flew back.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just the beginning. I had
mm-hmm.
a full-time job. I was trying to do the job, take care of my parents. I was coming back and forth every other weekend. And within 4 or 5 months, I realized I couldn't be a good caregiver. I couldn't do what needed to be done from 1,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the decision to quit my job and leave L.A., where I'd been for 13 years and had a life and a church and friends, and come back to Texas.
Uh-huh.
Because it was the right thing to do.
Right.
And you know something? I have never regretted it, because
mm-hmm.
it was the best decision I ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And the first really unselfish decision.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what I want all of you out there who are listening or watching to know is, it doesn't have to be that hard for you if you'll do one thing. Have the conversation with your siblings and your parents about what they want as they grow older.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what your parents want and don't want. What are the plans they've made? What are their finances like? Because everything really depends on that. Because if they want to go into a long-term care community eventually, that's for really expensive, especially assisted living and skilled nursing. And only about the top 10% can afford to do that unless they've got long-term care insurance, which only
mm-hmm.
8% have.
Uh-huh.
Or they're out of money, as my mother got
right.
toward the end, and was on Medicaid.
Right.
And Medicaid, you have to be down to $2,000. You have to be broke
mm-hmm.
before Medicaid will kick in.
Right.
And, of course, now, with the administration's proposals, they're talking about cutting Medicaid by almost $800 billion over the next 10 years. So Medicaid may not be there for the people coming along.
Yeah.
So then that means more people being cared for at home, or people that don't have families may be on gurneys under bridges.
Yeah.
Who knows what?
Who knows?
But it's really scary. So you got to find out about that. Money is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what they want, what they don't want. Find out about the legal documents that they've got.
Now, let me ask you a question about Medicaid. When one of them went into the nursing home, your mom?
Well, they both went into independent living. Dad had a complete recovery from his stroke at 86.
Wow.
That allowed them to be in independent living, which is the cheapest, and it's more like apartment
living.
They were there for 5 years. And, I mean, I was there to take them all around places, to doctor's appointments and everything, but to try to get my father to wear a hearing aid.
Right.
That was a losing cause, even though I bought three of them over the years. And then mother fell in her room on Christmas Eve and broke her hip.
Mm.
And at her age, and she was
she
skipped over assisted living into skilled nursing. Then you're not going to believe this. 7 months later, on July 4th, we were big on holidays that year.
My
father fell in his room and broke his hip.
Oh, my goodness.
So they both were in skilled nursing, which quadrupled the cost.
So let me ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
In New York, when my father went into a nursing home, this happened. Did they require you to actually start the paperwork for Medicaid,
had the money.
Even though you were paying privately?
No, they didn't.
They
took the money, but within, so my parents had $400,000, which they thought was all the money they would ever need, and they had gone through it in, I think, 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And
really
4 years,
fast.
Maybe. And then mother, we separated them so that mother could get on Medicaid because she was in the nursing home for almost 10 years, which is like four times the length of an average stay.
Right, right.
So that finances are so important. And so are the legal documents.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because in this book, I've got 50 questions that will save you time, money, and tears. And there's spaces under the questions to write the answers. If you sit down with your parents and you just go over those questions because they cover everything, you're going to have a good idea of what they need and don't need and where they are and how much planning.
Mm-hmm.
So first question, do you have a will?
I was just asked that question by my financial advisor the other day.
Yes.
I do not. So that was well taken.
Oh, look at my face.
List.
So I would say this is a good week.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I was with friends this past 2 weeks ago up in Arizona in their 70s. Neither of them have a will.
Mm-hmm.
In their 70s? Really? You got to have a will. Think of it this way. Prince had a $300 million estate, no will. Think of the mess that is for all of his family. The money's going to go to the lawyers and the government. It's not going to go where he wanted it. I want your $300 million or whatever you've got to go to the people that you want it to go to, not be tied up in the courts and lawyers. But you will only have that if you have a will, and you've got powers of attorney you need to have, a living will, do not resuscitate, end-of-life decisions. There's a lot of decisions that if you make them early, then when there is a problem, it's all in writing.
Right.
And you get to do what you want to do, not what some outside person wants to do.
So if you do them early, you can change them, right?
You can change them, right?
Right. If people come in and out of your life and you decide, I don't want that.
No,
my
you can change them as long as you're mentally competent.
Right.
That's where we get into some fuzzy things where people try to influence people who aren't mentally competent.
Right.
So anyway, now I will tell you this. Having pushed real hard to have this conversation, most families don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? They're afraid of hurting their parents' feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of having tears or yelling or raised voices or whoever knows. They're afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they don't want to hurt, or maybe the adult children are in denial about their parents dying, or maybe the parents are in denial, or maybe the parents don't want the kids to know about their money. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
So there are lots of reasons why this conversation doesn't happen sometimes, but you've got to work If it takes years, you've got to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. It may be many conversations. The more you know going in, the easier it is on everything.
So do you have tips for people who have a hard time getting their parents to talk about it?
Bring it up.
Just keep bringing it up.
Point out to them, people in their lives who didn't have the conversation and all the problems that they had
mm-hmm.
with their kids, with their legal issues. Help them realize this needs to happen. And find the person who's got of the children, the one who has got the most influence with the parents. Really, even if that's the wild kid that you've got to fly in from California.
Right.
If he's the one that has the most influence, if he can get him to do it, fly him in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means it'd be the only thing he does.
Right.
Second question I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
You have brothers and sisters?
I do.
Okay. What did you know? Because your parents are gone now, right?
No, my mom.
Oh, your mom's still with?
Yes.
So, are you and your brother both involved in the care?
I have two brothers, and my oldest. I'm the youngest. My oldest brother is a power of attorney.
Uh huh. So he's involved.
He lives near.
Okay, and you're involved.
He's on the East Coast. So I'm involved. I talk on the phone to her every day. I talk to him when
good.
A problem comes up, and I fly in 4 times a year.
Oh, that's great. That's as much as you can do living this far away.
Right, and as I've told you, when my father was alive and he fell, I flew in immediately. So.
And then there's another brother.
And there's another brother.
Is he missing in action?
A little bit, but he helps with some of it.
Okay, he's a little bit there.
He's not as active in it,
okay.
but he helps in...
Okay, I'm going to do it.
And when we have an emergency, we do all three of them on the phone.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you realize how lucky you are? Not every family is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, sometimes everybody shows up. Sometimes a couple of people shows up. Sometimes it's one person. And occasionally it's nobody.
Right.
It's all over the place because I've spoken all over the country and I've talked to thousands of people.
And sometimes when they all show up, they fight.
Oh, that's another problem. So being an only child, which I think was a disadvantage, sometimes it can be an advantage.
You might not all agree on what you need to do.
No. But here's a good example right here. I have a friend here in Austin named Mary. The father died. The mother then got sick a couple of years later. It was going to be a long sickness. Mary had one sister. Now, about 6 months after the mother got ill, the sister announces she's taking a teaching job in Auckland, New Zealand, 12,000 miles away, as far on the planet as you can get from Austin and mother.
Right.
She never said, I'm not going to be part of the care.
Mm-hmm.
She just went to Auckland and stayed there,
wow.
leaving Mary to do everything. So I'm asking the listeners... Do you have an Auckland person in your family?
Yeah.
You need to know that because
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be able to count it. One of the most important things that we need to do again, that 7 out of 10 Americans don't have a will.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 out of 10 are going to die. I know because I Googled it and Google doesn't lie. So all of you who don't have a will, please, it's not expensive. It doesn't take long, but you need to get it now. You are not going to live forever. You need to get a will now. So I want to drive that home, and then I want to talk about dementia and Alzheimer's.
Okay. In a few minutes, we have
How much
left.
Do we have?
We have about 3 minutes.
Okay, great. All right. I arrived home. I knew nothing about Alzheimer's. I mean, I really didn't. Because I just, and right away, I've been here 6 weeks, I made this gigantic mistake. My mother wanted to go see her sister in Smithville, Texas, 60 miles away. Well, she'd been dead for 8 years. Mother had forgotten that. And I, being new, said, Mom, we can't go see Estelle. She's in heaven. Well, my mother started crying, sobbing. She was just going like this, tears coming down her face. And I knew I'd made a terrible mistake. So I went to an Alzheimer's expert the very next day and said, what do I do? And here's the best advice I ever got about caregiving. And I want you to really take this in. She said, quit trying to drag your mother into your world. She can't go there anymore. You, the caregiver, have to go into her world. Go into her world. And I got it. I got it that day. And I did it for the next 14 years of caregiving, because that's how long it took. My parents lived in 96 and 97. And I adjusted with my mother's Alzheimer's as she lost more and more cognitive ability. I matched her every step of the way. And when she forgot my name that day that I was dreading, I didn't let it upset me. I just introduced myself to her. Hi, Jim. I'm Jim, your firstborn. Oh, remember me? You know, and she laughed, and all of a sudden it was okay. Mm-hmm. And then toward the end, she couldn't talk at all. So I did all the things I knew she loved that didn't require talking. Ice cream, going to the garden, taking drives in the car, me singing. She liked that, believe it or not. And, you know, I did those things. And I did not criticize her. Do not criticize people who have memory problems, because it's the disease, not them. If they think you're Uncle Bert, be Uncle Bert. Mm-hmm. If they ask the same question seven times in a row, answer it seven times in a row. Because we want them to be right, but they can't be with Alzheimer's or dementia. There's right and there's kind.
Mm-hmm.
Go for kind every single time. You cannot go wrong by being kind.
I love that. I was just looking to see if that was a question. It wasn't.
No, that was... What was that bell just then?
That was my email.
Oh, your email? I thought it was all over.
No, because... people can email their questions.
I got it.
Maybe you got a question, but it wasn't.
Well, how much time do we have left?
So we have just about 3 minutes left, because I left 2 minutes. That's 1 minute left to talk about Alzheimer's, and 2 minutes I left to talk about your speaking.
I'm going to tell you this. There, as a caregiver, unexpected things are going to happen. You've got to be able to improvise. You need a sense of humor. Oh, my goodness, you need a sense of humor. Right at the beginning, I arrived the second visit back after my father had the stroke. I came into his rehab. He wanted me to help him get pills to kill himself. He wanted me to kill him. And I said no. And we found a way to get an operation on his prostate that restored his bodily functions, which is what was driving me crazy.
Uh-huh.
So I had to improvise. I worked with the doctor on that. And then there was just a long list of things where I would get help from the caregivers or from the staff or the doctor to try to find my way around problems. They're not all things that are going to be in anybody's book. You're going to have to be able to deal with things as they come up.
You have to be creative.
Creative.
Yeah.
And use... use a sense of humor,
because
you know, there are going to be some wonderful times. This is not all a terrible experience. I got so close to my parents. Yeah, I'm going to close it. My mother always told people, you know how much it cost me when Jim was born at the old hospital? $4 a day. And he was worth every penny of it. Well, I think over my 14 years of caregiving, I got her investment paid back.
There you go. So, Jim, you give speeches, keynote speeches about this.
I do. I speak all over the country. I think I've been in 24 states, and I speak to all kinds of groups, associations, hospitals, long-term care communities, churches, and corporations who have wellness programs. Because the more people that can get the message to plan early and be prepared, then the better it is for everybody, for the employer, for the family, for the person being cared for.
So how can people find out about your speeches, hire you to do speeches, buy your wonderful book?
On Amazon, When Roles Reverse, and the speech is called The Joys and Jolts of Caregiving, because there's joys and jolts.
Okay.
You're going to have a lot of both. And you can get me at Jim Comer, J-I-M-C-O-M-E-R, at me.com.
All right.
The easiest way.
So I'm going to put all that in the post about this evening's program on
my
website, so if people missed it, they could go there and just click on
it. That's been great. I've enjoyed it.
So thank you so much for coming this evening. This was really, really enjoyable.
Oh, good. It was fun for me.
It's a really good book. I really enjoyed it.
I try to keep the same humor in the book I have in the talk.
I love
the talk is full of humor.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show. Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Comes a time when you're all alone. Comes a time, gotta write that song. May not make any sense at all, but it's up to you. Keep a smile on your face. Now I've been young mostly every day. Just like you, don't you ever change. Cause this world's getting pretty old, and it's a fun.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And so before I go on to talk about self-love, and then all the other great things, segments of this program, just to fill you in on some news. Art is continuing to upload the YouTube videos of the interviews that I have done with the guests here in the Austin studio, right here in the Frost Bank building, since January of 2016. And we just videotaped this interview, so this will be uploaded soon as well. And we have a new one that has been uploaded from 2 weeks ago. So he's really catching up. And you can find all of those videos, those YouTube videos, on my YouTube page. So just go to youtube.com and put in a search for Dr. Mara Karpel, or you can go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and the latest video will be posted tonight. Just click on videos when you get to my website. Also, as you know, as you may know if you listen regularly, I've been a contributor to Arianna Huffington's new online magazine, ThriveGlobal.com, and Huffington Post, and I also published some of my blogs on Medium.com, and just recently published on Medium.com just this past Friday, and you can read that latest blog by going to my website, drmaricarpel.com, and you can click on blogs and on publications, either one of those, and you can read my latest blog called Perspective and all of my previous blogs. You can also go directly to medium.com and put a search in for my name, and you'll get the latest blog. And if you go to thriveglobal.com and huffingtonpost.com, you'll find all my blogs that I've written on those sites as well. And my book is moving along. We're on the next step towards publication, and stay tuned. If you follow me on Facebook and on Instagram and Twitter, you'll find out all the updated information as I have it to share. And also stay connected for more news, as there are more that you'll be interested in coming your way soon. All right. So now I said I would talk about self-love and having the energy, putting in energy or saving energy for yourself. So I think, you know, Jim touched on a really good point about, you know, sometimes we have to be unselfish and, you know, help our family, our loved ones, our parents, our grandparents, children, grandchildren. And there's, you know, a lot of, there's a lot that you get in return for that, just feeling really good about it, knowing that you have really been there for your family, for your loved ones, and as Jim talked about, getting closer with his parents when he did this. And I think that that part is extremely important, but it's also important. I think people forget when they start to become caregivers, in their desire to provide the best care for their loved ones, they go a little too far the other way, and that is that they sacrifice all of their own physical and emotional needs. And, you know, the emotional and physical experiences involving caregiving can be very straining for even the most capable individuals. And that's true for taking care of elderly, ill, disabled, loved ones, and also for raising children and taking care of grandchildren. All of that takes a lot of energy. And I've seen many women in my practice who come in after raising a family. Now their kids are out of the house and they sort of feel lost because they forgot who they were. So I think it's really important to make time and save some energy, conserve a little bit of energy for yourself, and to not forget who you are. I think in the midst of caregiving, it can, if you give up all of your energy and you give up who you are, don't take care of yourself emotionally or physically, health-wise, you can start to feel off balance, and you can end up feeling very depressed and become very sick. And we've talked about that before on this program, that very often caregivers, when they forget about themselves, they tend to get sick even before the person that they're caring for. They get much more sick with life-threatening illnesses. And it also tends to lead you to make bad decisions when you start feeling burnt out, exhausted, worn out. You become emotionally exhausted as well. They call that compassion fatigue. So it's really important to take care of yourself. As they say, I'm not the first one to say this and use this analogy, but when you're flying in an airplane, when they tell you about the oxygen mask, But they, if you lose, cabin loses pressure, and if you're flying with somebody who needs help to put on their oxygen mask, put on your oxygen mask first. And I think that that's a wonderful analogy, because if you don't, then you're not able to put on the other person's oxygen mask either. You need to take care of yourself in order to be there for the person or people that you're taking care of. And if you get sick and you're not capable of caring for your loved ones, then who is going to do it? So it's really important, and it's not selfish, to sometimes put your health and wellness above the person that you're caring for periods of time. Even if you take 10 minutes a day to meditate, 10 minutes, finding the time when you have 10 minutes free to just sit and breathe, and to bring yourself fully into your center, to feel more peaceful, and to help you to make wiser decisions. It's also important to really focus on developing a relationship with yourself. And this fits even if you're not a caregiver. I think it's really easy when in relationship to give up all your energy in the relationship and forget about your own needs and your own self. And something should happen in that relationship where it ends. Again, people are left feeling really empty because they don't know who they are anymore. They've given away all of themselves. So how do you work at increasing your own self-love and taking care of yourself, even finding time during the day to put yourself first, even if it's not 24 hours in the day, but even if it's 10 minutes or an hour to spend putting yourself first. And on a future program, I'll talk about some tips for finding that time even more, maybe a full day or a full week where you can put yourself first. But today I'm just going to talk about what to do during that time. And I think everyone can find 10 minutes. There has to be 10 minutes, even if it means waking up 10 minutes earlier. So here are some tips for loving yourself. So the first tip is to treat yourself like you're worthy right now, even if you don't believe that you are. So this includes taking care of your body by eating a healthy diet and exercising and meditating, doing things that you enjoy doing, and even spending some time following your dream or figuring out what your dreams are. When you start treating yourself like you're worthwhile, like you're worth being taken care of like that, you will start to believe that you're worthwhile, and you'll start to love yourself, even if you don't already have that self-love. And that's really important in a relationship as well. If you're only putting your love toward that person in the relationship and not treating yourself like you're worthwhile, then you're not going to be treated like you're worthwhile. So it comes back to you. Do things throughout the day, every day, that cheer you or inspire you. So listen to some music that you enjoy. Read something inspiring. Walk in nature. I talked a few weeks ago about the positive effects of walking in nature. Exercise. Breathe slowly. Relax. Do what makes you feel more vital and alive. It doesn't have to be something big. It doesn't have to be something that takes a lot of time. But find times during the day where you can spend a few moments doing to you. And again, that gives yourself the message that you deserve to be treated well. And then surround yourself with positive people who love themselves and who treat you with love and respect. So I don't mean that people who love themselves, meaning that they're narcissistic, that they only care about themselves, and I'm certainly not proposing that you become self-centered and narcissistic. But when you really love yourself, you don't have anything to prove. You don't have to try to be better than other people because you know that you're a good person. And that's what you, where you want to get to be. And one of the ways of becoming that way is surrounding yourself with people who are already that way, who already know what it means to love themselves. And when they love themselves and don't have anything to prove, then they treat you with love and respect because they have nothing to lose by doing that. They don't need to put you down in order to feel better about themselves. And human beings learn the best by observing. And when we observe other people who love themselves and love and respect the people around them, we learn how to reduce the how to do the same thing. And try to reduce the amount of time you spend with people who are negative and who try to bring you down and make you feel bad about yourself. Okay, so number four, turn off the negative, derogatory self-talk. We all engage in this self-talk in our head, and very often we criticize ourselves. Maybe it's the voice of our parents or other important people in our lives that we hear in our head, or it's our own voice questioning our worthiness. So we need to turn it off. Just don't listen to it. Question it. Even if you can't completely turn it off, if you question it and know that it's just silly self-talk, then it doesn't have the type of impact on you that it previously had to the negativity of other people. So if somebody puts you down, don't listen to it. Don't pay attention to it. Realize that that is from their own need to feel better about themselves. And then forgive them. So that goes up with the next step is forgiving other people and forgiving yourself. When you can forgive other people and forgive yourself, then you will start to love yourself. And make a list of your own positive traits. You might notice that you're very good at finding things about yourself that you don't like. So now sit down and make a list of those qualities about yourself that you actually like, and spend some time every day expanding that list of all the things that you like about yourself that you feel make you a pretty cool person. And treat yourself like you would your own best friend. Think about how you treat another person. Is it how you would, how you treat yourself? Is it how you would treat your best friend? If you have a problem and you criticize yourself, would you really do that to your best friend, or would you be supportive and try to boost them up and tell them that they're going to be okay and that, you know, sometimes people make mistakes and all the other really wonderful things we say to our best friends? How come we don't say those things to ourselves? So try to be your own BFF. Your best friend forever. And then, similar to what Jim was saying, it's really important to have a sense of humor. And in this case, it's important to have a sense of humor about your own mistakes. So if we can laugh at ourselves, and if you're a caregiver, if you can laugh at your mistakes as a caregiver rather than putting yourself down, then we can gain a more realistic perspective that we're only human. And that a mistake is just an event to learn from rather than a sign that we're inept or that our character is severely flawed. You start to learn to love yourself, then you start to have more energy and you don't feel as wiped out and drained by caregiving responsibilities, and you realize that you need, that it's okay to spend time taking care of your own health, taking care of your own emotional needs, and following your dreams. You know, if you're really busy, as Jim was when he was taking care of his elderly parents who really needed him as a caregiver, it's hard to imagine following your dreams. But as you see, he is now a speaker and he wrote a book. So even though at the time that he was in the midst of caregiving, he couldn't spend a lot of time following his dreams, it was still there, and it wasn't, his dream was not dead. He used the experience to create a new dream to help other people to deal with caregiving issues. And if you're a caregiver, or you're raising children or grandchildren, it's important to keep your dream alive. And if you don't have a lot of time or energy, even if you spent 10 minutes a day, it could make a huge difference. So for me, following my dream during the roughest of times, when I lost my dad, when I've dealt with issues with my mom and trying to make sure that she's well, having my dream still there wasn't an escape from that problem, from those problems. And it didn't mean that I didn't do what I needed to do to help with those issues, but it was a way through the problems that I could still feel that light in my life, still feel the enthusiasm to get up every morning. And it was a way to get through those times, even using the experience toward motivating even more in my dream. So I've talked quite a bit about the experiences that I had, that I've had with my dad and with my mom, dealing with caregiving issues and aging parent issues. I actually use those experiences in helping my dream. So following your dream is really an important part of not giving up on living and feeling and not moving into a state of depression or despair. And if you're beginning a new journey later in life, if you've already been a caregiver and now you're all of a sudden have this energy on your hands that you don't know what to do with, and you want to start following your dreams, even if you're 60 or 70 or 80 or 90, you're not alone. There are many people who start this new chapter in their lives, following dreams later in life, having retired or gotten through that caregiving phase, taking care of children, taking care of aging parents. And having a dream and passionately following it at that point, no matter our age and no matter how scary it might feel, gives our life direction and meaning. It helps us to, like I said, have a reason to get out of bed every day. And it leads to joy and excitement. When Kathy Sparrow was on this program, she talked about following your dream. Kathy Sparrow is the founder of Writing at Your Edge, and she's a self-leadership expert. And she said, when we start to live our own story, that's when we come alive. We really start living. So part of that, as she puts it, is embracing our edge. Embracing our edge is being willing to step outside of our comfort zone or that familiarity zone, the place where we settle with, well, this is as good as it gets, even when our hearts are yearning for more. And once we start to lean into it, as Kathy puts it, momentum builds and life begins to feel more meaningful and interesting. And the edge, as Kathy explains, is that place where we become bigger than who we have been, and our horizons expand. So at that point, life can become an adventure. And we don't always know what our dream is, and that's okay. You find yourself 65, 70 years old, and you suddenly decide that you want to follow a dream and have more meaning in your life, and you don't know what it is. That's okay. That's exciting to be in that stage of investigating. So if you can be curious about what might be that thing that really excites you, then it can be an exciting time of exploration, talking to other people, reading books, trying out things, seeing a workshop advertised on the internet, and it sounds interesting, check it out. See if it's something that might be your path. Not your path, then it just might be another great experience or a place where you can meet other people who can lead you on another path. So it's all a time of investigation and excitement. Just be curious. Just be willing to be open. And finally, take care of yourself in order to be there for other people. Don't forget about yourself. That's the number one rule. Don't forget about you. All right. So on that note, we're going to take a break and play a little music. And Laura Gelizunas is going to be joining us from the retirement paradise where people are following their dreams in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Watch me send it, he lies in his hammock, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Hear the thunder high in that mountain. Watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss. And they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind. But the senoritas, they keep us in time. That part BCT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place, Punta Mita time.
All right, and we're back. And joining us on the phone from beautiful Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, is Laura Gelizunas. Good evening, Laura.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I am good. We're kind of warm here and toasty in Austin. How are things in Vallarta?
It's probably not as hot as you are, but we're certainly humid.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's going to thunderstorm tonight, so...
Oh, we're having storms here, too, so...
Yeah, cool it off a little.
Mm-hmm. So what's been going on down there? Now that it's hot, things are a little slower. People move a little slower in the heat, right?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. So what kind of things can people do down there right now while it's the summer season and a little bit slower?
A little bit slower. There's plenty of things to do early in the morning for those who, 8, 9 o'clock, 7, I think, some places. There's still yoga classes early in the morning. There's some meditation classes at various facilities, throughout the bay. And then there's some that are even on the beach, before it gets too warm. So you can start your day that way. What else is there? There's all kinds of water things, if you're interested in doing water sports. There's the stand-up paddle boarding has, lessons, and a lot. There's places where you can rent the boards, too, if you don't have your own. So that goes on during the day down here, that way you're at least in the water. So, you can keep cooler that way.
Right. So I know I was just talking about following your dreams even later in life, and we've talked about in the past, you mentioned that there are a lot of artists that come down there. Do they have art classes going on there now?
Oh, yes. There's plenty of art classes in just about any medium that you would want to pursue. Watercolors and acrylics, charcoal to, oil paints and sculpting and, you name it, they do it. So there's usually a class that you can go to or, get online and look for groups who meet, to learn different things so that you can, explore something new artistically. So, yes, there's definitely opportunities, definitely a lot of opportunities there.
Yes, it would seem to me that in the slower season, it's a good time to really focus on artwork.
Oh, yes, and, it's light here until like 9 o'clock at night, so you definitely have that to your advantage. So it's, a long day, good light.
Are a lot of artists attracted to Vallarta because of the light?
A lot of them say that, yes, and this has been where a lot of artists have gathered for many years. So people keep coming back and introducing other people to the area and, why they like it and why they like their studios here. And one of them is the light, and one is the because we do have mountains here, which are close to the ocean, so you have the mountains and the ocean here as well, so that adds another dynamic.
Sure. It's beautiful. Speaking of the mountains, I know that that it's a little bit cooler up in the mountains. Are there places where people go to in the mountains to cool off and get a little bit drier from the humidity?
Yes, right here is San Sebastian. With the highway now, it takes you about an hour. A lot of people will head up towards Topeka and then inland. Now, once you start getting up in elevation, it gets a little drier and a little cooler. So places outside of Guadalajara, Lake Chapala and Ajijic, those are places where a lot of retirees also gather, and many live there full-time. Some people in Puerto Vallarta have their summer home, up near Guadalajara somewhere, and then they come back down to Vallarta during the winter season. So, yeah, there's definitely places to go that you can explore that are not quite as humid as they are here during the summer.
Right. Yeah, I one of the times that I went to Vallarta several years ago, I met a woman who was retiring from Houston to Vallarta, and we've been following each other on Facebook since then. And it looks like in the summertime, she goes to one of those places. I'm thinking she goes to San Miguel de Allende in the summer.
Yes, that's another. Yeah, that's another popular spot.
It's a little cooler there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're still going to get warm, but at night it still gets down into the 50s because of the elevation.
Ah, that's nice. Yeah. So a lot of people have two places. They stay in the winter in Vallarta and go there in the summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that way they can have good weather year-round.
And things are much cheaper down there, so it might sound hugely expensive for people to have two houses or two places to live in Mexico, but it's actually much more affordable, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely can be. I mean, you can definitely spend a lot, too, but...
Right, you have a choice.
You have a choice, but yes, you can live more frugally. And once you get out of, you know, a beach town, the rent is even less expensive.
Okay. Okay,
so
that
there are people
sense.
Renting, you know, renting apartments or even houses for $150 to $250 a month.
Wow.
Yes. Nothing fancy, but, you know, you can get a place, you know, roof over your head in a nice neighborhood for about that much.
That's crazy.
Yes. So that makes it easy for people to travel and, you know, they can pick up and go when they want to.
Right, and live off of their retirement, limited income.
Definitely.
So, and you still have the events going on there or get-togethers?
There are definitely events all summer. The expats in Vallarta group meets year-round. They meet for coffee in the mornings. They meet for happy hours. They have special dinners. And you can check all that out on VallartaExpats.com. And that way you can keep track of all that. And then you can meet other people who live here full and part-time.
Right. And the Friday Foodies is still going on?
Friday Foodies meets every Friday during the low season, and it's organized by one woman. You get on her email list, and each Friday is a different restaurant. Sometimes they even have special menus for the Friday Foodies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like a three-course meal for like 300 pesos, and there's choices for each course. So they definitely make their way. You know, make a special...
Right.
Special opportunity for the Friday Foodies group. Mm-hmm. Next Saturday, July 29th, is the 4th annual Ceviche and Agua Chili Festival.
Oh,
so that's
wow.
Kind of a great way. Yeah, that's kind of a great way to sample those two summer favorites.
That's next Saturday?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, there's usually, I don't know, there's usually about a dozen restaurants that participate. So, and then you can go through and pick what you want. Prices start at about 10, 15 pesos, which is like around a dollar for a tostada with either ceviche or agua chili. So, yeah, it's definitely a fun little festival.
So
you can sample different things from various. One of my favorite restaurants is Lamara Seafood, and they do vegan ceviches and agua chili.
Wow.
So, yeah, so they're seafood-free. So, basically, I like to call it a little salad on a tostada because, you know, it's just vegetables. But, yeah, but the sauces they use, their sauces are just awesome. They make one with fresh coconut, jicama, red onions, habanero.
Making me hungry.
And cucumber, yeah, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They make another one with green apples, and you can get all kinds.
So
it's very light and refreshing for the summer.
Yes, it sounds delicious. So I hear your cat.
Yes. He thinks ceviche sounds pretty darn good too.
I bet he does. So Laura, if people are looking to buy a place for next year or rent a place, is this still a good time to come down there and take a look and see what's around?
It definitely is, because you're not going to battle the crowd so much during the summer season, and it'll give you an opportunity to look at, you know, scout out places without renters in place. A lot of the places, you know, condos have renters during high season, so they don't always show their best.
Right. So, and you can help them with that, can't you?
I certainly can. They can send me an email at laura@boardwalkrealtypv.com is my email address.
All right. And I will post that on my website like I always do. And and if people are interested in finding out what's happening in Vallarta every day of the week, where can they go?
They can go to banderasnews.com. That's BanderasNews.com. It's Puerto Vallarta's most lively website.
All right.
So they can check out everything that's going on.
Wonderful. It's comprehensive and up to date.
Yes.
All right. All right. So Laura, thank you so much for coming on the program this evening, and stay cool there in Vallarta. We're trying to stay cool here.
Yes, I think everybody is.
Yeah. So talk to you again in about 2 weeks?
Certainly.
All right. Well, you have a good couple of weeks.
Okay, and you too. Stay cool.
All right. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, so stick around. We're going to be playing the music of our next guest, Brazilian musician Paula Maia, who is here in the studio. And in a few moments, she'll be joining me for an interview. So don't go anywhere. Listen to the music. Enjoy, and we will be right back.
Que vive a esperar, tem pescador de peixe pescando ao luar. Menino bonito que vive do mar, é pescador de peixe com meu olhar. Menina bonita que vive a esperar, tem pescador de peixe pescando ao luar. Menino bonito que vive do mar. Pescador de peixe com meu olhar, leva o meu cheiro de amor com você. Vai na canoa atrás de Iemanjá, volta de noite e o meu sorriso te espera. Na nossa cabana, na vila de pescadores do mar. Na nossa cabana, na vila de pescadores do mar. Luau, luau. Menina bonita que vive a esperar, é pescador de peixe pescando ao luar, ao luar. Menino bonito que vive do mar, é pescador de peixe com meu olhar. Leva o meu cheiro de amor com você, vai na canoa atrás de Iemanjá. Volta de noite e o meu sorriso se espera. Na nossa cabana, na vila de pescadores do mar. Na nossa cabana, na vila de pescadores do mar. Luau, luau, no mar. Luau, luau, no mar.
And we're back, and I have with me in the studio Paula Maia, whose music we were just listening to. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you so much. It's great being here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming to the studio, and it's always fun to have you live in the studio to do the show.
Yeah, it's always fun to be in a studio.
Yeah. So before we talk about your music and what we were just playing, why don't we talk about your musical background? Just give the listeners a little...
Well, I kind of did the reverse of what a lot of people do. I started with classical music for many years, and then I started to listen to progressive rock and jazz, and then jazz fusion, and always instrumental, and then started to listen to vocal music, but I was never into pop music at all. And then when I moved to the United States,
from Brazil.
I'm from Rio de Janeiro, and I attended the Brazilian Music Federal University in Brazil in the music department. And also attended the conservatory there. I have a degree in music theory and stuff like that. And I had already a lot of experience playing in a big bands in Brazil and just playing with different people. And then I moved to the U.S. to Houston. I was there for 4 months, and then I went to Seattle. Stayed there for 17 years. And in Seattle, I got a lot of experience actually with world music and came to know my own music more because I became a DJ there, a radio host.
Okay.
I had a radio show, Brazilian radio show, co-hosting with Kumekoni for 12 years. That's when I actually really got into Brazilian music, believe it or not, and other kinds of music that I play there, like African music and reggae and even Persian music. So... and then when I moved to Austin 2011, and I always wrote music, so I went from kind of classical avant-garde, my first CD that I recorded in Houston, to Seattle. I recorded 4 CDs there that are more pop, rock, and I kind of went to the rock side in Seattle, besides the world, you know, with my own music. I was going to the more rock, I guess because of Seattle, you know, Nirvana was huge at the time. And then when I moved to Austin, I went to Brazil for a little while, I kind of decided to go back to my roots, and that's when I released this record that this song is off that you play, the Illumina, which is actually my first. I've released 7 records. This is the first, besides the Bossa Nova bootleg, this is the first one that's actually in Portuguese, the whole thing.
Okay. Can you tell us about that song?
Yeah, that's called Menina Bonita, which means pretty girl. I actually wrote that song over 20 years ago, riding through Alabama. I was moving from Texas to Seattle. Actually, we had already moved. I was married at the time, and we came to San Antonio to pick up a car to drive back to Seattle, and we decided to take the long route.
And you ended up in Alabama.
Yes. We drove through Alabama and Illinois, and And I don't know why, you know, riding through Alabama, that song just came to my mind, and it was pretty close to how it is now. I worked more on the lyrics, but I had never recorded, so I finally decided to record this song as a baião, which is a rhythm from the northeast of Brazil. Which I love, yeah.
So are you playing a lot around Austin?
Actually, I am. I'm very grateful. I've been playing a lot of solo gigs and then some shows as a band. The last big show we had was at the Auditorium Shores. We played for the Austin New Year's Eve.
Nice.
And that was really great. And then we just had a big show in San Antonio for the jazz festival there, and we have another one, my band, coming up in Austin Central Market in November. But I do play every week as solo, and you came to see me.
Yes, I came to see you.
This Italian restaurant, Gino's Vino, on East 51st and Lancaster Drive. And now I'm going to start playing, looks like, the first Thursday of every month at the Milonga Room, which is by reservation only, a tiny room on the basement of the Buenos Aires Cafe on East 6th Street.
Oh, wow.
I played there last week, and it's a really cute room. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool spot. So Paola, who's the owner there, invited me to play the first Thursday of every month there.
Very nice.
And then now this Friday, I have a show with my trio in Fredericksburg, at the club, which is pretty neat place. They're a resort right by the Barron Creek side, and then they built this space that's 2 years old that they have music Friday and Saturdays.
Uh-huh. And so that is this Friday.
The 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you can find all that on my website,
right.
paulamaya.com.
Okay. And you said that you have 7 CDs?
I have 7 CDs that I've released. And one of them is, like I said, it's the Bossa Nova bootleg. So that's not like an official release. But I released 4 CDs in Seattle and... the first one was released in Houston under Wild Mom Records. And then in Seattle, I released one EP independent. And then I started my record label, Yellow House Records, and released 3 more. And then when I moved here in 2011, I released the Bossa Nova bootleg, which was recorded live at a party here in Austin.
Uh-huh.
But it came out so good, everybody was talking about, okay, I'll just start, having my gig.
Right.
And then I released this other one that I just gave you the copy today, Luminat, that was properly released, all done in Austin, Texas, and very proud of it. Got some great reviews,
okay.
And I'm very proud of it.
So we're going to play another one of the songs.
Okay, great.
Okay, that you sent us, and it's so in tune.
Yes.
Tell us about that before we play it.
Well, that tune is about, and they are originals, of course, and that tune is about people, and you can kind of understand they're guys a lot of the time, think they're right all the time,
mm-hmm.
And that's what the song is. It's based on a guy I knew, and like you think you're always so in tune with life,
uh-huh.
But uh-huh. you missed something here.
You're not really getting
right.
the whole.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to play that. Art's going to play it, and don't go anywhere, and we'll come back and talk a few more minutes. Paulamaya, who is here in the studio. So, Paula, so what's the name of your band?
It's Paulamaya.
Okay.
It's just simpler that way, but I was just mentioning with you that I started this year a band with Brazilian guitarist Sergio Yesbeck, who also plays in my band, but this other band we started together is called Brazilian Soul. And we play basically once a month at the Sahara Lounge. And it's a really fun band, you know,
mm-hmm.
for dancing and a lot of MPB, and which is Brazilian popular music.
Uh-huh.
From the Tropicália time and soul, Brazilian soul, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Okay, and that's every week.
No, the Brazilian Soul usually plays once a month at the Sahara Lounge.
Once
and I have all that on my website. You can find all the shows.
Okay. And in your band, do you have any regular? I know you said you have people that kind of rotate through.
Yeah, because everybody's so busy. But, yeah, like I mentioned, Sergio Yazbek, we met not long ago, about a year ago. But, yeah, we've been playing. We play several shows together. So, and he's going to be with me this Friday. Marco Antonio Santos is a great Brazilian musician, also play with me. He won't be there this Friday. So it depends, because, you know, my band goes from 5-piece to 4-piece to 3-piece.
Right.
So it changes. This Friday will be Sergio on guitar and this drummer called Stefan Del Bosque. And now I will be on keys and voice.
Okay. And that's your instrument is keyboard.
Yes.
Okay, and voice, of course.
Yes. Yeah, but I was a keyboard player way before I was a singer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing piano, you know, classical piano and all that for a long time.
Right. So if people are interested in finding out where you're playing, your calendar, and buying your music or downloading it or buying your CDs.
Yeah, you can find all that on my website, which is paulamaya.com, PaulaMaya.com. And I think the website is quite easy to use, and you find everything. There are videos, links to, you know, to iTunes, and pictures, all sorts of stuff.
Okay, great.
And shows, yeah, all the shows.
Shows.
I try to list all my shows there. People can always go there to see where I'm
going.
Great.
And I'm going to post that link on my web post about this show later tonight, so people can just click on it if they didn't have their pen and paper.
Yeah,
available.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Thank you so much for having
Thank
me.
Thank you.
So much fun.
Yes.
It's great to meet you.
Yes. Good to meet you, and I love your
and
music.
Art.
And I'm
Thank
looking
you.
Forward to listening to the CD. That
Thank you,
gave
you
us.
So much. Appreciate it.
So before we go, I'm going to let everybody know what's happening next week, and then we'll go out with a little bit more of your music.
Okay,
so next week, Sunday, July 30th, we'll be back with another live show and a packed program. Judith Levy joins us from New Jersey to talk about her book, Activities to Do with Your Parent Who Has Alzheimer's Dementia, and that's based on her personal experience of being an adult child of a mother with Alzheimer's, as well as her past work and as an occupational therapist. And it's written to provide support to others who find themselves in a similar situation. And also, Molly Lord, speaker, educator, and founder of Tuned In Productions, teaching how to guide music and mind to surprising revelations about what actually drives your life decisions and actions.
Hmm.
And also Kathy Sparrow, writing coach, self-leadership expert, message strategist, author, and founder of Writing at Your Edge, will join us together to talk about their upcoming workshop, Your Sacred Song, Reigniting Forgotten Dreams, which is going to be taking place in September in Colorado. So they'll tell us more about that. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show and about upcoming shows, listen to previous programs, read my blogs in Huffington Post and Thrive Global and on Medium.com, find out more about my upcoming book, watch the videos of the interviews we've done.
Book.
Yes.
Great.
You can find that all at my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Jim Comer, Paula Maya, Laura Gelazunis, and thank you to Art, and a shout out to Anthony and little Eva, who are both here in the studio listening
so
quietly to the show.
Yes.
They've been really, really good. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
A little follow along.
Que vive a esperar é pescador de peixe pescando ao luar. Menino bonito que vive do mar é pescador de peixe com meu olhar. Menina bonita que vive a esperar é pescador de peixe pescando ao luar. Menino bonito que vive do mar é pescador de peixe com meu olhar. Leva o meu cheiro de amor com você. Vai na canoa atrás de Iemanjá. Volta de noite e o meu sorriso te espera. Na nossa cabana, na vila de pescadores do mar. Na nossa cabana, na vila de pescadores do mar. Luar, luar. Menina bonita que vive a esperar é pescador de peixe pescando ao luar. Ao luar. Menino bonito que vive do mar é pescador de peixe com meu olhar. Leva o meu cheiro.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.